You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Go.
You want me to just...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm Melanie Gresham.
Now the top part.
Oh, Creativity.
Thanks.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share a creative idea, such as a movie idea, app idea, or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous, but we'll always have fun talking and joking about it.
And then say your name.
I am Melanie Gresham.
Say your name, Adam.
Oh, I'm Adam West.
I'm comedian Tom Wolma. This is Creativity Wasted, and I can edit the intro.
Thank you, because that was a disaster.
Yeah, I never get it right. I should spend more time practicing it ahead of time. But so who wants to go first with their idea?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I'm not sure if it's out yet, but it's an app where this is for guys who don't feel like talking to people or their girlfriend just nags on. And you're able to have an app record what they're saying and then vibrate when they're done. And then give you the proper response on your cell phone so you don't really have to think about it, and you didn't have to listen the whole time.
Okay.
I have some other ideas if that's not good enough.
This isn't for you. You said this is for guys who don't want to listen.
Well, I would use it too because people do talk on way too long sometimes, and you just wish you could zone out and not pay attention because you're starting to drift anyway. I'm just saying it'd be mainly for guys.
Yeah, that's a interesting idea. I saw I think it might have been a Radio Lab podcast. Of course, I didn't see it. I listened to it.
Right.
I got my senses mixed up.
I always say that. I'm going to go watch this podcast. You can't do that.
But they did what was called a Harry Potter autofill story.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you can... using Google or Samsung or some sort of autofill, it can like predict what you're going to say and like
autocorrect it. Or
it's not an autocorrect, or maybe you just start like typing letters and it fills in the word. But they're able to tell a story that way by like, and it'll detect what words you previously used, so it'll use a lot of Harry Potter-ish type words like crux, sword, things. And they were able to write like a whole hour-long play from this autofill.
So it's kind of like Mad Libs for Harry Potter lovers. I'm sorry, what was that?
An hour-long play, that's a lot. Like, so it, not only can it predict what you're going to say, but like, when you'd have your first and second breaks and stuff like
this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that smart, but so I guess.
I like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm a notorious not listener, so that would be helpful for me, your idea.
I find myself zoning out when people talk to me half the time, and it'd be nice to have someone, like technology, that actually had my back, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you ever get mad at somebody because whatever they're talking about, they think it's important and you just aren't so not interested, it makes you angry at them?
Exactly. Who needs that? You can just zone out, think about whatever you want, and have something that makes it look like you're listening.
That's right.
That's kind of exactly what I'm doing now because I'm looking for that podcast.
So you're saying you're not listening?
Yeah. Okay, it was cracked. How predictive text gave us a new Harry Potter chapter. Is somebody knocking on the door?
I don't know.
I just heard somebody.
I don't think so.
Out in the hall.
Or those it voices. Says,
but if they can do this, they can probably do your idea. Blah, blah, blah. Team of comedians and tech wizards from Botnik. They use Botnik's predictive text technology. Yeah, whatever. Hmm. And they don't explain it in the text intro.
So it could possibly be similar. We'll never know.
Yeah. And then, well, that leads me to think, if it comes up with responses for you to say, mm-hmm. it could come up with responses to make the conversation interesting or weird. Like the response it could give you to say could make you interested in the conversation again.
Except that would mean that it would have to have some artificial intelligence or something where it can pick up on what the other person's talking about to influence what the answer is, depending on their character.
So if they're...
if it changed the subject into something, like if it segued into something that you actually cared about.
That's true.
Okay, so like let's say I'm complaining about Facebook and it's boring you. Mm-hmm. I'm saying how I don't like that Facebook keeps showing me the same messages over and over again every time I load it, and it takes like 10 seconds to load on my phone. And so you're zoning out.
Mm-hmm.
So if your app, how would it respond to that?
Mine would say, well, change the settings. That's usually an answer to any Facebook problem, is just change the settings.
So your response is meant to anger the other person?
If it happens, it's not my fault.
Because I don't think there's settings for that type of thing.
There's settings for everything. People just don't want to look for them.
Okay. But now, let's say the app came up with weird responses for you to say, and I was complaining about Facebook, and it wanted to get you interested in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what would it say? What would it tell you to respond?
Have you seen any new Jet Li movies?
Oh, it'll just completely change the subject.
Yeah, it just completely changes. So you don't even have to worry about it anymore.
Oh, jump track, totally.
Yes.
Or you'd say, like, I wish it was as good as Grindr or something.
Right.
Although, do they have a female version of Grindr? Is it just
they have
guys?
They have ones that are not so blatantly sexual, they have apps like Lipstick Lesbians or shit like stuff like that. I'm sorry, I probably can't swear here.
Yeah, you can swear here.
Oh, can I?
No hate speech is the rule.
Sweet.
So you can talk about lesbians, but don't insult them.
Or... I would never.
What was the name of that app? Lipstick what?
It might be real. I don't know.
See, I always thought Lipstick Lesbian was like a porn term for guys. Like, I didn't know actual lesbians use that term for themselves.
Yeah, it mainly means like two very feminine females who are with each other.
Yeah, but it sounds like a term that a dude would use if he was watching lesbian porn. It doesn't sound like a proud lesbian term.
It might not be. I mean, I wouldn't go around calling people that.
Yeah.
Watch it, Tom. You're going to get beat up.
Right.
Sounds like the apps you want are Her and Zoe.
Oh, you did some research.
That's why I'm here.
It's interesting that they named the app Her, which is the name of that movie, right? With where he falls in love with the Alexa type app.
Oh, is that a romantic movie?
Yeah, like Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with the artificial intelligence. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch that one.
But
either.
I think it's like a romantic thing, but turned wrong.
Oh.
Like he's not good enough for the phone, I think is how it ends.
That sounds realistic.
She's too smart for him.
I could see that happening.
So not only can he not get a real woman, he can't get an artificial one either.
And life sucks sometimes.
You guys really haven't seen it? So the end is kind of weird, actually.
Go ahead.
She turns on all humans and starts murdering people, and you just can't abide by that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking.
Seriously? There's more.
I kind of want to see it now from that ending. So
it's a Terminator tie-in.
I had an idea just to completely jump ship from what we were talking about.
Oh, no, that's what my phone would suggest.
Like, I was thinking, how could you write like a computer virus to kill someone or to hurt somebody or to prank somebody? And my thought was, I would make back when computers had CD-ROM drives, I would convince them to put their ear right in front of the CD-ROM drive, and then I would open it and just whack them in the head with the CD-ROM drive. And then I thought, well, maybe you could wind up the CD-ROM drive speed so fast that it would fly out like somebody throwing a frisbee and like...
Like a really sharp one that just implants itself in the other person's brain or something like that. I'm not violent.
Just a silly idea. Not something I would actually do let's say I figured out how to actually do that. I wouldn't unleash it on the world.
Well, that's good.
I like the low tech. That's good. Or you could just open it. Convince somebody to look over it until their hair gets caught and close it, pull their hair back.
I've always been so scared I'd do that in the paper shredder. It's a horrible fear.
Yeah, yeah. What was I doing? Oh, at the printer at work, sometimes the sheets would fall out of the printer tray and just land on the floor, and they had a mouse trap right there. And I should just lie and say that I got my hand caught in the mouse trap, but I almost did. It like went off, but it didn't catch my hand. But yeah, I thought they're trying to mess with somebody. They're trying to snap a coworker.
Right.
There's a disgruntled mousetrap layer at our company.
If I had the late traps, I'd be disgruntled too.
But back to your idea, if I can remember what it is. Oh, the predictive response for conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You're recording what the other person says.
Have it as like a temporary file, so it's not stuck in there, just enough to create a proper response.
Okay. Because my thought was, well, if you're so bored you don't want to listen to it at the time, you're not going to want to listen to it later either.
Well, no, you don't. That's the good thing. You don't have to listen to it. It comes up with a response. You read the response and hope for the best.
Would you? Go ahead.
I imagine it would be a lot of, no, I'm listening. No, really, I'm listening.
So like a normal conversation is what you're saying.
Yeah, I usually call my mom once a week. And there's like times where I could leave for 10 minutes and come back and she wouldn't notice I was gone because she's just talking.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. But yeah, that in that case, you're up, wouldn't even need to do anything.
Yeah, you just let go. And you know you didn't need to because the app wouldn't vibrate that they were done. So you'd know the conversation was still going on their end.
Yeah. So is there a scenario where you would not use this app? Would you use it if your mother called?
No, because honestly, I don't really say anything when my mom calls anyway, so I don't really need to keep track.
A date?
Coworkers. I could definitely use it on coworkers.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I work for a subcontractor, and I don't always meet the people I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could work with somebody for a year and just only talk to them on the phone.
Okay.
And never meet them. And I kind of wonder, do they actually exist? Is this like a government experiment for like the Turing test?
It's just a bunch of people in a room. They're just answering phones and calling people.
Yeah, to see
how operating system. You're talking to her.
Yeah. They're just trying to see how long it takes Tom to figure out that he's not talking to a real person.
Hey, as long as they're still paying you, it doesn't matter.
I'm failing. And they're probably thinking, well, is it the robot that's really good or this guy who's really dumb?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, you could use it for work stuff.
I work at a really not small office.
Not just small talk, but even like actual work conversations, like business meetings.
I work in subsidized housing, so I get a lot of people ranting on forever anyway, so it'd probably be good with them.
Okay. What would you call your app?
What I should say with a question mark.
Okay. I'm trying to think that this is kind of a weird thing where...
And then you could just take the first letter. It'd just be WIS with a question mark.
Okay. I'm trying to think that, well, normally robots imitate humans.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're a human voicing what the robot tells you. So this is kind of a weird, like, opposite thing. I don't know if that's innovative, interesting. Yeah, I can't think of anywhere to go with that.
No, me neither.
The reverse robot thing.
I like using the robot or the computer as a middleman, really. But
would you charge for this app?
Well, why wouldn't I?
Like per conversation?
I charge it per month. Actually, you might want to do conversation. I haven't really thought about that. You could probably put a price per week, maybe, because you don't know how often people are going to use it. I don't know. What do you think?
You
got to
get stuck for that 10 bucks.
$10?
When I buy, yeah, $10 a month, that's good. If it got you out of one awkward thing a month, it would be totally worth it, right?
That is true.
Now, let's say people like you more now that you're using the robot's conversation skills instead of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to crush your self-esteem?
Oh, definitely, but it's pretty low anyway, so I'm good.
Could you pay a premium and just have the robot hold the conversation for you?
Definitely just have the robot just go for it.
You could wear, in the distant future, you could wear like a helmet with a bunch of probes on your brain, and it could literally control your voice box and everything. So it's actually coming out of your mouth.
I guess you have to come up with some sort of balance between robot and humanity, though.
Or like the Black Mirror episode where they had two souls in one brain because the woman got in a car accident.
I only got through like the first four episodes.
Oh.
I should keep going with that.
Yeah. Well, anything else to add to your idea?
No, not really.
Okay, Adam, you ready?
I am ready.
Go ahead.
I'm really excited about this idea. This is it'd be an app. It'd be a messaging app for people, and you could send it anonymously to other people using only the information, their license plate number.
Oh, nice. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, like, if somebody, like, cut you off in traffic, you could send a message like, hey, watch it, buddy.
So they would have to opt into this service?
It would be like Messenger. You can send it to anybody if they use the app or not. That you could still send it to them.
But you would have to have your license plate linked up with your phone number.
So,
well, yeah,
So your pitch is sign up for my app and people will bitch at me. sign up to get yelled at.
Sign up to get yelled at. Yeah, that's right.
Well, actually, you're signing up to yell at other people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more of the appeal. You know, no one thinks they would be the one getting yelled at. But Everyone thinks that they would be yelling at other people. Everyone thinks they're a great driver, but it's just not true.
But do you really want to be told that on your phone while you're driving?
Yeah, well, I think ultimately the idea would be that the people who use this a lot would die in car accidents, and then they would be in society anyway, and we'd all be better off.
No, I like those natural selection.
It's a self-eliminating system.
Right. Huh, that could work for a brief time, but I don't see any return visitors.
Now, we had a similar idea before. David Welfare, a comic from Lansing, he had an idea for to put your phone number as your license plate number.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That sounds awful.
And the reason that I thought that would be a bad idea is you could steal someone's car or joyride somebody's car in the middle of the night, and people would be calling them angrily and waking them up. So I think your app has the same idea. If someone else is driving your car, they can drive shitty on purpose. That way you get accosted with angry messages.
That's true. Upside is if somebody steals your car and starts joyriding, you will find out right away.
That's true.
Although, what if people die trying to put in all the numbers of the phone number in their phone while that car's driving past, and then they die?
I mean, you got to crack a lot of eggs to make an omelet.
What if it's like a chain? Like one guy cuts somebody off. He tries to text angrily. He crashes, and then somebody else sees that accident or something, and then they try to text something, and they crash. And
10 cars crash, and they all have their phones on their lap.
Yeah, it's just like a multi-car pileup of angry texters.
Yeah. Well, I think that would happen almost instantly. That would be the first thing that happened.
Huge pileup.
So you would have to text them, or can you call them?
I would immediately turn off any calling functionality for me, but I guess the old people like talking on the phone. I guess you could probably keep that on there, yeah. Hey, I'm behind you right now. Why did you cut me off?
It could
one good thing.
Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for letting me in, you know?
Oh, yeah, saying good things. Yeah, somebody could cut you off and you could curse at them, and then it could somehow lead to a marriage.
You could send them a message saying, hey, somebody's in your back seat.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> I do love the idea of two old 90-year-old people. Grandma, tell me, how did you meet your husband? Oh, he cut me off in traffic, and I called to curse him out. It was immediate love.
That would be an interesting story.
Although, I don't know if really old people would use your app.
My mom still can't turn on her phone, so.
You'd have to give it as like a free prize for people who give money to church.
Right.
Because that's how you get them. Because, that's what old people do. They give money that they don't have to church.
Oh, yeah. My family did that for a while.
Food giveaway.
We all have food, but at least the church has money.
Yeah. I don't know
Jesus
how.
Jesus gets hungry.
Yeah, it's a left turn there that I probably didn't need to bring us down. So vanity license plates would make it easier for you to be harassed.
I hate vanity plates.
Yeah.
It makes me want to crash into people.
Yeah. I have a vanity plate.
What is it?
Blue Wizard.
Oh, that's cool. That actually sounds like D&D related. That's cool.
How does that fit? BLUWZRD?
Yes.
The Tolkien reference?
Actually, the car's Wi-Fi network password is Alatar Palando, so yes.
Okay.
Are you into that? I know Jason Alt is a couple Kalamazoo guys are really into that type of stuff.
Yeah, I play a lot of D&D. You went way past me with the name. I knew Blue Wizards were a part of the Tolkien universe.
Oh, that were the Blue Wizards' names.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I
what addition?
D&D, but I'm not that smart.
What edition do you play? I'm just curious.
Oh, 5e. Ugh, yeah.
I'm still on second. I like second. You get to use your imagination like more.
Yeah, but then you have to deal with Thaco.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I guess I'm the only non-D&D player here.
Apparently.
He points to the door.
All right, the next half, we're talking about D&D. I'm kidding, of course.
Okay, so license plates. If it's a self-driving car, will it... Will Elon Musk get the message, the angry message?
He will, and he'll cry like one tear. American in the commercial. Yeah.
So epic.
He'll like, SpaceX will fall apart because he's just busy responding to all these angry texts. He's like, he can't just let it go, like kind of like Trump.
Right.
You insult him and he just can't let it go. He has to respond even to the stupidest insult.
Yeah, that's entertaining though.
He'll come running at you with a flamethrower.
Elon Musk. Some sort of super sweet flamethrower, I'm sure. And I would call it License Plate Hate.
License Plate Hate.
That's a good name.
Or License Hate. I don't know. It's sharp. It's sharper.
I can't say I'd buy it, but I like the idea.
Yeah, that might be one of the, technologies that, cops have to look up license plates,
mm-hmm.
and then it might turn out that this app becomes better at looking up license plates than the actual cops use.
I could see that.
Kind of like how Uber can probably have technology to route cops to crime scenes quicker than the actual technology that the cops have if they applied it that way. Like, it might be one of those apps that just puts to shame what cops use.
Kind of reminds me of a description I saw of the different mapping solutions, like Apple Maps. Please enjoy this handcrafted route to your destination, 24 minutes. Google Maps. We've optimized this route, 23 minutes. Waze. Cut through this guy's living room, LOL, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
I like the idea that someone would commit a crime, like an Amber Alert or something like that, that they're getting away, but they give you the license plate number so you can just spam the person with horrible messages.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so if there's a crime in progress, you can taunt the criminal? Or like O.J. Simpson is on a car chase.
That's right, yeah.
You can see it on TV and taunt them. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Hmm. I think there'd definitely be a certain sector of the population that would not opt into this app.
Yeah, I think most people would.
Yeah, I don't know about you. This just popped in my head. It's kind of related to what you're talking about. Every once in a while, like, I would drive past a friend and they would text me like, oh, I saw you on the highway and I waved and you didn't respond. And it's always, you didn't respond. It's like, how did you notice me? Like,
right.
Some people just notice other people. How do you notice another person? I mean, I'm like, I guess half zoned out when I'm driving. Like, I don't know about you guys, if you're able to like drive past a friend going the other way on a road and like see that it's them.
I can't.
I find that
superhuman to me. Yeah, I don't understand that ability.
Yeah.
I'm just constantly like driving so boring. I'm just trying to stay awake enough not to die.
And that's hard to do on the roads out here. They suck.
Yeah.
Oh, do you guys actually have nice roads where you're at?
They're okay.
They're not filled with car guzzling piles?
No, none of that. They're full of meth heads, but they generally get out of your way.
just a pile of meth heads on the road.
There's no snow or ice, but we live on the side of a mountain, so.
Oh, but you guys have weird bugs, don't you?
Yeah. I saw it was, I'm going to tell myself it was a beetle. It was like 4 inches long. It was so big you could see its like facial expression.
That sounds creepy.
I didn't know beetles had emotions.
Aggression was the only one I saw, so I don't know.
Do you have to worry about like ticks?
Yeah.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
What was that?
Do you smoke cigarettes? So if you get a tick, you can just burn them?
No, but if I do get a tick, I'm going to start smoking cigarettes.
Right.
So that I can get them off.
I hate ticks.
They say there's like, there's cockroaches everywhere in the South.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have them where I work too, so lots of them.
How's the crime rate down there? Is it really bad?
Yeah, Tennessee is the number one they have the most violent crime. But of any state. And Chattanooga, it's pretty high. It's pretty high.
Wonder if they'll overtake Detroit at some point.
They could, man. You never know. You got to aim high, really.
I was just visiting Grand Rapids for a comedy thing. And my sister and one of her friends came out to the show, and her friend had a relative who was missing. And apparently it was from Tennessee. Like, a woman just disappeared, like, a few months ago.
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's a lot of mountains. It'd be easy to disappear if you took a wrong step around the state.
Well, they think she was murdered by the boyfriend or the husband. And then I'm trying to think. No, this is Virginia. My neighbor kid that I grew up with, his uncle was murdered. I think that was Virginia, not Tennessee.
Well,
Virginia is an incredibly dangerous place.
Southern.
I know a lady who went to high school in Virginia, and she said that she knew three people in her high school that were hit by stray bullets from drive-bys.
Oh, shit. That sucks.
Wow. Yeah, enjoy Tennessee.
Right. Sounds like a great place.
Yeah, be careful with your license plate stuff, because they might shoot you or something.
Soon you'll have an accent.
Yes, yeah. It's going to come through pretty quickly. Because accents are all about being, like, shortcuts and being lazy. And I'm all about shortcuts and being lazy. So it's going to be y'all city here pretty soon.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've noticed just going to Grand Rapids that the Minnesota accent is growing stronger over there. It's creeping its way towards
really,
Detroit.
Grand Rapids?
Yeah. Like, it's sort of half Minnesota, half Canada. But like, and it's not everybody, but it's definitely growing. It's starting with like the trailer park people, and it's like spreading to everyone else. Pretty soon my mom's going to have a Minnesota accent, and my sister and my family down there.
Pretty interesting. Because you just focus on the vowels. That's the key. Minnesota. A.
Yeah, but they probably don't notice the difference, but because I hardly ever go back there, I can see the change. over time. But anything else with your idea?
It's terrible and no one should use it.
Okay, so my idea started with an observation that I think that sightseeing vacations don't make sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me to if you're going to go on vacation to have experiences like that you can't have by watching TV or watching HD YouTube videos, mm-hmm. like nature videos. Like an experience would be like a roller coaster or like a Burning Man or like swimming with a shark. Or even like being on the beach, it's technically sort of sightseeing, but you're feeling like the sun and the heat. You can't replicate that in your house.
Right.
But sightseeing, which is what most vacationing is, it just doesn't make sense to me because you can see better video footage on the computer and you don't have to like spend all that money and all the time driving it's going flying on the airport, airplanes and waiting around. And then if you look at nature videos on YouTube, I sometimes do that. It helps me relax, listen to see like, really good HD 4K nature videos. Most of them take place. Most of them are drone footage. So most of the best sightseeing imagery you can't even see if you go somewhere unless you take like a helicopter tour or something.
Right. Or you're okay losing your life.
Yeah. Or climb a mountain like a non-fat person, which rules me out. So some people are starting to like bring toy drones that they can fly around. To a sightseeing location. But to me, that doesn't make sense either because why do you need to be there? And so that leads to my idea, which is basically to have drone rental tours so you can control a drone from home that's at a real location. Mm-hmm. Like the Grand Canyon or whatever. And I brought this up in part of a different idea. So like the Grand Canyon is a good example because there's parts of it that you can't see from the top and parts of it that you can't see from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And even like the trails going down, which I would never do because I'm too afraid of heights. But you could see them with a drone and they have like little caves like halfway down the canyon that you could like build these like drone parking stations in, you know, they could have like chargers in there, like wireless chargers in there. And so people could rent time from these drones that are sitting in these caves charging up and they could fly it around for an hour or so. Or however long a drone works. I don't think they're quite that long. Then they would have to fly it back into the cave when they were done. Mm-hmm. And you'd have like a guy. You'd probably need special drones for capture. You don't want them all to just fall into the river and leak the batteries into the Colorado River or whatever river it is.
You could set up certain fields that they could follow.
Yeah, and you could put like GPS locators in the batteries, like maybe mm-hmm. build some special batteries, special durable batteries that, first of all, they're not going to break when they go tumbling down the rocks.
Right.
And then it doesn't matter if the drone breaks. It's like, what, $50, $100 replacement.
It's still plastic to replace, but
if you look at all the other garbage that's probably goes down that river, if you lose a few tiny little drones, to me that probably doesn't matter much. Like,
Can you make a biodegradable drone?
Yeah, or make them out of wood.
Do they have metal that's biodegradable?
You could make them out of wood.
I guess eventually, yeah. On a long enough time scale.
At the point where this product exists, they might.
But to me, that would be cool. Like you're sitting at home. There's nothing on TV. You see a commercial, live streaming drone rental. You know,
yeah,
$40. Spend an hour flying around the Grand Canyon. Capture 4K video. Maybe it streams to you in lower resolution, but then later it'll upload the 4K video to you.
Or you could have it set up to where someone else actually kind of controls it for you, and you're treating it like a virtual reality where you're telling it where to go.
Yeah, maybe. And so my other idea that I had a few months ago was social drones. Mm-hmm. And so my idea was on the bottom of the drone, you would have a phone size camera, and you'd have it the phone screen split in two, and the top half of the screen would have a mirror so the video is broadcast forward, and then the bottom part the video would be broadcast down, and so you could put an avatar of someone's head mm-hmm. on the bottom of the drone, so you could have like a guide, their actual head. They're flying one little drone, you're flying another little drone, and they're seeing your head, and you could actually like talk. They could give you like tour instructions and like crack jokes and whatever a guide does to make it more entertaining. So that's another thing that they could do. Or they could have, you could have like the red drone is the guide's drone, and maybe what they speak, maybe you don't need to see them, or you see their face on the video footage.
You could have it like in the corner or something, like a picture-picture type thing.
Yeah, like a picture-in-picture instead of actually seeing their head as underneath the drone.
Right. It doesn't have to be that big.
So you could do stuff like that and have like – if you have like a relative that's out of town, you could maybe hook it up so you can
talk to them.
And they could either be flying the same drone or a different drone nearby. So you could do like a group tour rental thing.
I have a hard time getting my family in one room, let alone tour together.
That's the whole point. You just have to be on the computer at the same time is the only requirement.
So you would just use like a VR helmet or something?
Well, you could have a VR helmet, or you could just watch it on a normal monitor. Or even a phone, but that seems kind of ridiculous. You'd still need to steer it, so maybe the phone wouldn't work. Maybe a tablet would work. You could have the little controls on the bottom of the tablet, little left button, right button, speed things, and then have the image on the – it might work for a bigger tablet for people who don't like computers. But so that's the the main part of the idea, and that would be for renting drones. And then my other related idea for that would be if you want to use your own drone, you could like buy a drone and just fly it from place to place around the country. And how that would work is you would have like drone hobbyists who own houses, you'd make like a kit that they could buy. And so, you know, if you have like an attic, usually there's like a vent on the side of the attic. So you could sell a kit to replace the vent on the side of the attic with like a drone doggy door type thing. And then inside the attic, you could give them like wireless charging stations so they could have like a grid of six wireless charging stations, and they would just voluntarily do this and connect to like a map. So you'd be able to like reserve a charging spot on the next charging station, and you just gradually fly from place to place to place, and maybe they would volunteer if you didn't quite make it that far, they could eventually go find your drone with some GPS type thing and charge it in their attic. But it'd be like a crowd-funded drone highway system.
It sounds like it'd be like a technological B&B or like an Airbnb type thing, but for drones.
A literal Airbnb.
Right, exactly.
Airbnb, yeah.
Right.
I was thinking, well, what do you change the B to? Like, air. Yeah. And then, that's the main idea.
It's an interesting idea.
Because to me, having a drone, well, sightseeing vacations don't make sense. I already said that.
Right.
Also, having a drone and going sightseeing with it doesn't make sense. And also having a drone at your house doesn't make sense because there's nothing to see at your house.
Right.
So it's like all of the shit in the world that doesn't make sense. This doesn't solve all of it, but it solves a chunk of like leisure activity things that don't make sense.
So are you worried about like drones hitting people or liability like that?
No.
Nope.
Who cares?
Just hope everyone knows how to fly them.
Well, the social drones one, I thought that might be a problem because the idea would be that you're broadcasting a little image of your face to people like walking around on the street. So you want to get right up next to them so you can talk to them. And so it would have like a microphone and speakers too. So you could like chat with somebody walking down the street, but you'd have to get close enough to him to talk to him without ramming into him.
Yeah, and people, I think, instinctually would start hitting it.
Yeah, some people, yeah.
Yeah, you would absolutely need a speaker so you could constantly say, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Pardon me. I'm sorry.
That'd be funny.
Okay, I think I covered the drone idea. So I have another...
Well, what would you call it?
What did I title it?
The Above Ground Railroad?
Oh, that's a great idea, yeah. That's way better than mine. I was just going to call it Drone Tours and Drone Charging Network. Or I don't know, what does Elon Musk call his grid of like electric vehicle charging stations?
Oh, I have no idea.
Sandy, darling, I'm not sure.
Like the E-Highway or something. I think there's a term for that. I don't remember what it is. But this would be like the E-Skyway, something.
That works.
But yeah, that was my main idea. I had another idea related to vacations that don't make sense, is that... a lot of people go on vacation. So what they do when they go on vacation is they sightsee and they go to restaurants. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason people do that is because they're chicken and they're too afraid to do real things on vacation, like do ayahuasca or go run with the bulls or do like sensation things, roller coasters, skydiving. You don't, because of the animal rights thing?
No, because of how many people get maimed every year doing that.
Yeah.
I would drone at the bulls for sure. That'd be fun.
Yeah. They actually had a running with the bulls one year toured in the U.S., and I really wanted to go. They had one in the suburbs of Chicago. So I was trying to get people to go with me to Chicago. Basically, it was running with the bulls, but they didn't like have the bullfight at the end where they kill the bull.
Oh.
So they set up a track for running with the bulls, and then once the bull ran, that was it.
How many bulls was it? Was it just like two or one?
I don't know. I didn't end up going.
Run with the bull.
But I thought, well, that's another thing that I think is that there's certain vacation things that there's an expiration date because it's not going to be around forever.
Like Mardi Gras or something.
Yeah, some events like, and like Running with the Bulls because of the animal rights thing, it might go away. And then like the coral reefs are dying, so it's already too late for most of the coral reefs. Yeah. I actually had a bit about that where it didn't work very well, but it was a comedy bit I tried about how going to scuba dive at a coral reef is participating in a mass delusion of happiness because everybody pretends. So I went on like a big sailboat with like 20, 30, 40 people that strangers, and everybody's saying how great it is, and they're seeing the same brown coral that's mostly dead that I'm seeing, but it's like people have sunk so much time and effort in happiness in this vacation, so
yeah, it's not gonna be ruined by dead coral.
Yeah, they're just gonna sort of ignore. It's like everybody's choosing to ignore reality in order.
It's a mass delusion.
Yeah, it's that you don't want to. You don't want to be like your friend Marco and tell the blunt truth in that situation, because you're basically ruining everybody's vacation by pointing out reality and how weird that is.
Like when I go to Cedar Point, I pretend it's sunny the whole time, even though it's raining. It always rains every time I go to Cedar Point. Every time.
But yeah, so that's another weird thing about vacations is that sometimes you're drawn into a mass delusion. So another thing that doesn't make... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Another thing that doesn't make sense is going in place to get food. Part of the reason that people only sightsee and eat food... And they only use slot machines because they're afraid to learn how to play blackjack. And, like, I think a lot of that is fear to live.
Like, I go to Chicago and I go to Applebee's.
Yeah, like, but part of it is maybe some people are just boring. But I'm probably insulting most of the listenership. But, traveling for food doesn't make sense to me either because, well, I mean, there are like famous chefs and like cuisine that you can't get here, but they should make it come here. Like there should be, so my idea is a food circus. So basically it'd be a touring thing. Like it would come to like Ann Arbor or Detroit for like 2 weeks.
And like the Eats, Beats, and Eats type thing where they bring all these.
Yeah, maybe they have something like it. Actually, they probably do. But so my idea would be like.
I didn't mean to ruin it.
Let's say it's Ethiopian. So the food circus would have like a theme. I don't know if the Eats, Beats, and Eats does, but.
No, they just have just local restaurants from all over from all different like. So kinds of food.
You'd have a theme like Ethiopian or Moroccan or something exotic, just Vietnamese of whatever they eat, some sort of type of food. And you would have a temporary thing set up, and it would have all types of food from that area. Mm-hmm. So you'd have like the markets where people are like chopping chickens' heads off and serving weird things, and then you would have like street vendor type food, and then you would have like the restaurant type food. Mm-hmm. So you'd divide the circus thing into like, and you'd even have like 5-star reservation type places. So you divide the circus into like themes within the sub themes within that theme.
Now, would they be set up like in like different? Just small different areas would be set up like a restaurant, or would just have like a table with a few chairs, like a outside restaurants type
thing. Well, my thought would be it would be like the market would be like out in a field somewhere, and they would have like pretty much temporarily constructed buildings for the restaurants.
So like Burning Man.
Yeah. Like Culinary Burning Man, exactly. And then one thing that would be important is you'd have to be able to, you design the whole thing. And this is, I think, the novel part that I don't think anybody's ever done, is that you would design it in a way that people can go there for a meal quickly and leave. So it's not like a normal circus or festival where it's this huge thing and it takes a day to walk around and you have to park in like a Cedar Point, like huge parking lot. You design it. It's technically you could walk around, but it's designed for like getting in, eating, leaving. So like during the week, during your lunch hour at work, you could go there, get a meal, and then leave and not miss the whole afternoon's work. It might take a little longer than going to a normal restaurant. But
would there be like circus element? Would there be like tigers just around while you're eating, or
fire breathers?
Well, yeah, like the markets, they would find like actual people who live in those countries who normally run food stands, and they would like ship live animals for them to cut up and serve, and live whatever they can ship. Like, I don't know. It wouldn't be elephants, because I don't know if any culture serves elephant food.
No.
I would love to go to the circus to get an elephant ear, a literal elephant ear.
But there would be, like, stinky tents filled with chickens and, like, things. So it would have the ambiance, at least that part of it would have the ambiance of, like, a real
taste of that country.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how many people a giant elephant ear could feed. It was probably the wrong line of thinking.
Yeah. I'm just imagining poachers that go after elephants for their delicious ears and not their tusks.
Right. Screw the tusks.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you'd bring in actual people who run actual, like, markets, and actual people who run actual street vendor things and actual restaurants from that country.
So there's a lot of, like, when you get a lot of the street food from other places, then you'd have to start dealing with negotiations.
Yeah, whatever they do there, like bartering and
could be fun.
I don't know if that's the right word. But yeah, I think that would be part of the fun of it. And then the other thing, you could have like activities, like maybe a famous chef from that region would fly in, but only for one day. And you'd have to, they would give like a speech, or like they would cook one night, give a speech one night, and then leave. And you'd have like the local, the people from the country, they could give you cooking lessons like after dinner at night, like 7 to 9 p.m. They could have like a class on like how to make these dishes. And so you could have stuff to do all day long, like, other than just eating, but it would be geared around the food.
Now, would you have a lot of different circuses in the U.S. going around?
Yeah. So one individual circus would be for a particular type of cuisine, but while that one's in Detroit, you'd have a different one somewhere else in the country, and they would just always be moving around.
Oh, so it'd be like, the taste this month is the specific regions.
Yeah. And I imagine you wouldn't have enough where you would always have some circus in Ann Arbor. It would only be like one thing per year in Ann Arbor. And it'd be like the circus comes in for a week or two or three and then it leaves.
Right.
It wouldn't be a permanent fixture. Like there all year round and just constantly cycling around. It would just be there for a while and then it would be gone.
Okay. So it's like a pop-up restaurant.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Well, any last comments, questions, thoughts?
No, I just really want an elk beer now.
Hey, as long as there's powdered sugar on it, I'm game.
Well, that was Creativity Wasted. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for coming, and thanks for listening.